everyone, welcome back to the I Should Totally Be Dead Right Now podcast, where we tell true stories of survivors of true crime, natural disasters, and everything else in between. And how's it going, Michelle?
Oh, it's good. It's good. We've had a lot of storming and flooding and all kinds of crazy weather going on here. So we've been able to watch some storms and like all the thunder and lightning. So it's kind of fun. But
Michelle,
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just like, I love you so much. I just love how we start, how I'm always like, how's it going? You're like, the weather is crazy.
I can't talk about how I'm upset because we were just talking about this stupid Jared from Subway documentary and how awful that was.
Yeah.
I should have listened to you, Caitlin. You said, don't watch it. It's too disturbing. And you know what? You were right. Right. I should have listened. So I'm a little bit like off kilter now. I'm all weirded out. It's just so weird. I apologize.
No. The weather grounds you, Michelle. So I appreciate it.
We have had some crazy weather though. We were out watching. We had a, I know, I'm going to talk about the weather. Anyway,
yeah, do it. No, do it. Do it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What about the weather? Tell me.
No, we have. So Ohio turns out has had the most tornadoes of any state in the United States, like this year so far. I guess
it's just
tornado. But we live in this crazy pocket that we like don't really get any of the bad weather.
Oh,
so we'll get thunder and lightning, but we certainly don't. I don't think there's been a tornado in this town in like 80 something years or over 100 years or something like that. It's just very unusual for us to get super severe. And we were looking at our weather app, and our town is in this like literal circle, and then bad weather is all around it. And then there's us, and it's like, it's okay. But it was really cool. We were out watching the lightning, and man, it's just bolts like just go from one end of the sky to the other, like these big, long, horizontal bolts
That's
of lightning.
Cool.
And all of a sudden, the whole sky is like super pink, and then it's just, and then it'll dump down rain, like, you know, a monsoon was coming. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, was there even a storm here?
Bizarre. I love lightning, so that's really cool.
I was totally thinking of you, that you would very much enjoy hanging out. We've got comfy chairs out there. We had some wine. Of course, we had a little joint, and we were just, it was delightful.
It sounds lovely. That does sound really
lovely.
Nice. Aww.
We had to move from our puzzle to go out to the porch to watch the storm.
Ah, I love that. You're living your best life. Look at you go.
We're puzzling like crazy here in Ohio.
Well, what are we drinking, Michelle?
It's version 2 of our fresh whiskey sours.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd made those darn grape drink. I don't even remember what they were called. Grape drinks with the egg white in it.
Yeah.
And so I'm obsessed with putting egg white in like every single drink. And what I didn't realize is that egg white is a classic like ingredient to whiskey sours.
Mm.
So we decided to do a version, of course, with egg whites, and it's delicious. So it was like 2 ounces of lime juice, 2 ounces of lemon juice, and then 2 ounces of simple syrup. I didn't have simple syrup, so I just popped some sugar in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a double in the cocktail shaker, and I would not recommend doing that because it exploded and I had egg whites everywhere.
Beauty.
So you got to do it one drink at a time. So I guess it's 1 ounce, 1 ounce, and 1 ounce instead of 2 ounces, which is how I did it.
1 ounce of what? What's alcohol?
Okay. I apologize. One ounce of lemon juice, 1 ounce of lime juice, 1 ounce of simple syrup. And then I did 1.5 ounces or so of our whiskey. And then I put everything in with no ice into the shaker. And then with one egg white, and then shook it up. And then I added ice and shook it up again. And so that you get a really frothy egg white. And then you just pour it into a cocktail glass and you're good to go. And it's freaking very delicious. And I don't like whiskey very often.
Yeah.
So it's a good one. It's just a classic, yummy drink. It would be hard to do for a party though, because you can really only make one at a time. So I don't know
Right.
how you would make like a big batch and figure out the egg whites or,
Yeah, that'd be a lot of eggs. That's funny.
You gotta serve something where you need egg yolks as well.
Right, yeah, it's a lot of egg yolks to
Yeah, I guess hollandaise and then, fresh whiskey sours. My God, am I
Yeah.
already slurring? Oh,
Uh-oh.
yeah.
Uh-oh.
I know, and I got a long story
Oh
ahead, baby.
gosh.
You just wait. You just wait. I am
Well,
actually pretty excited about my story because I've been wanting to tell this story for some time
love
because
it.
it's an Ohio story.
Oh snap.
Indeed. But I'll let
We
you go
love that.
first.
Oh, thank you. I
Yeah,
appreciate
no
that.
problem.
Ah. All right, let's jump into it.
All right.
All right, this story is about Cindy Broaddus.
Okay. Cindy brought us.
Yes. So Cindy is 51 years old, and
Okay.
it is June 5th, 2001.
Okay.
So she is traveling from Newcastle, Oklahoma to San Diego, California for a vacation.
Yeah. I like
Yeah.
San Diego. I get it. Good call. Good call.
So she was traveling with this man named Jim. Not sure. Doesn't say exactly who Jim is, but he's driving and she's in the passenger seat. Okay. She's
Yeah, now I
sleeping.
want to know a lot more about Jim. Like right now.
Fair enough. So it's in the middle of the night. So they're just driving through the night. She's sleeping in the passenger seat. He's driving. Here we go.
Okay.
So as we're going under a bridge, a random person throws a jar of sulfuric acid off the overpass.
What?
Yeah. And it pierces the windshield and drenches Cindy, covering her in this acid.
What? Like,
Yeah.
I thought Jim was gonna be like a rapist or something. Not that is different than I thought.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Cindy is now screaming in pain and just saying, "I'm gonna die. Oh my gosh. Get me somewhere. Pull over. Do something." Like, yeah, makes
Isn't
sense.
like that like almost starts dissolving your skin, doesn't it?
You are
Like
correct, Michelle. Yes. So the acid burned 70% of her body. It burned her face, her lips, her cheeks, her chin, her arms. She even inhaled a little bit and burned her inside of her mouth, her tongue, and her throat
Oh my
as well.
God.
She states, "I remember having my hands in my face thinking I was bleeding and then realizing it was skin in my hands."
Oh God, that is graphic. Oh my
That is
goodness.
graphic. Yeah.
Oh.
So luckily, she got to the hospital and she had 12 surgeries
Oh
to,
my
and
gosh.
skin grafts to get her skin back to normal. The doctors, though, gave her a 30% chance of survival.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, thankfully, she was wearing regular tennis shoes and not sandals, so her feet were not burned, and that's what they did to inject morphine into treat her toes. Because that was the only area that wasn't
Oh my
burned.
God. She had to like go old school heroin drug user
Yeah.
style. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's insane. Oh.
So in the hospital, she's starting to recover, but she does survive and she is still recovering and she contemplated her future and the impact of her experience on her three grown daughters.
Oh.
I know. So she states, "Either I'm going to be a survivor who feels sorry for myself, or I'm going to go out and try to make a world a better place." I know, right?
God damn it. Once
I know.
again, this like incredible survivor.
That's what I'm saying. And then just 6 weeks after this ordeal, she actually goes back to work. 6 weeks. That's
Are you
crazy.
serious?
Yeah.
That I would think like 6 months or
Yeah.
more.
No, it's just
She's a
six
baller,
weeks.
man.
Absolutely. She credits this ordeal for pushing her out of her comfort zone and facilitating self-growth and resilience. In 2005, she actually published a book called A Random Act, an inspiring true story of fighting to survive and choosing to forgive.
Oh.
I know. She even got into public speaking and she even went on the Dr. Phil show in 2002, just a year after the incident. And to share her experience. And that actually increased her visibility and helped spread her powerful message. And actually, Dr. Phil is her brother-in-law.
is that right?
Yeah.
How unusual.
I know, right?
Oh my God, you're practically famous.
I know, right? So that helped her spread the powerful message of resilience and forgiveness. And she states, being a victim gets you nowhere. My life mantra is make every day count. We are all on the earth for some reason.
Oh,
Aww.
God.
So Cindy actually even ventured into political activism and teamed up with a state senator in Oklahoma that passed a law called the Cindy Broaddus Act. This legislation turned the act of throwing any object from a bridge or overpass into a felony.
Oh, good. Do we know who threw it or anything like that?
We still do not. No, it was
Oh,
just
man.
someone randomly in that bazaar. You're just trying to go on vacay, sleeping in your car, and boom, acid. Like, just because some random
Yeah.
asshole is,
Is up there just throwing shit down. Oh my God. Oh, I threw one time. God, this is so embarrassing. Me and my friend were hanging out camping, and we were like next to a big sort of logging road, I guess. So cars were going by and stuff. So we hid in these trees and pretended to throw rocks at cars, even though we didn't actually throw anything, we pretended to. Oh my God. So this chick drives by, we pretend to throw a rock at her. She rips her car off to the side of the road and comes roaring over there, like, and my friend takes off. Like she's gone. And so I'm standing there like deer in headlights. So I know like I would never be able to run from the police. I would be fucked because I'd be like in pure panic. And she like rips me a new one. And and it's like I was so scared I couldn't even like defend myself. Like we weren't actually throwing rocks or anything. And what if you had done that to a logging truck and this, and really explained in a lot of detail how disastrous this whole thing could have turned out. So I learned my lesson. Did not do anything. And she like tromped me back to the camp and I got in trouble with my friend's parents. Oh, it was like the worst thing.
Oh my gosh, that's
I never did that
crazy.
shit again.
Well, there you
Yeah,
go.
she wasn't having it.
That's hilarious.
I certainly
Well,
wasn't throwing sulfuric acid.
yeah, my gosh. So to the person who threw that acid, fuck you. Terrible,
Yeah,
terrible
right.
person.
I hope that was the one jar that you did and that was it and you haven't hurt anyone else since. It's probably not the truth, but
Yeah, I don't know. But she says forgiveness is a gift that we give ourselves. Yes.
I would
Cindy.
totally agree with that. The main person who benefits from forgiveness is you. Absolutely. 100%. The other
No,
person
that's
probably
true.
doesn't even fucking know or care. Who cares? It's all about you.
No, exactly. So, Cindy is a beacon of positivity and is a powerful reminder of the strength of the human spirit.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Cindy has since passed away. She was 68 years old and she passed away in 2018 on February 19th. And her birthday is February 23rd. So they did her funeral and her burial on her birthday.
Oh my
I
goodness.
know
I
she
just
was,
totally got goosebumps, like big
I know.
time. Oh.
But she was surrounded by her daughters and her loved ones and her sister and such. So she got to go on her own terms, you know, not this
Yeah.
asshole who, you know, threw acid. But so we're so sorry for the family's loss, but Cindy loved to share her experience and her story. So if we can get her story out there even more, I definitely would love that. So you can check out her book. It's on Amazon. And yeah, good job, Cindy, for staying positive, forgiving, and creating this new life for yourself in this journey. And we appreciate that we could say it on our podcast. So thank you.
Ugh. She is the ultimate, I heard a thing and it was Joel listens to like all these shorts and things that are very motivational, very inspirational. And one of them said, and I apologize if I've already said this, but I'm gonna say it again. One of the ones that he watched, it said, "We're all victims. Everybody is a victim. Something bad has happened to every single person on this earth. There's no, like, there's just part of the human life, but you can be a victim, but you don't have to live in victimhood." And so I always felt like, oh, yes, yeah, shit sucks. And yeah, we can all be victims, but you don't have to define your life by it and, you know, live your life in victimhood. And I like that. Oh, yeah, it really resonated with me. I was like, it's because it's true. Well, everybody has their shit.
Yeah. And you have choices,
And don't let it define you. Let the positive stuff define you, not the shitty stuff that's happened.
Yeah. I mean, she made a legislation move, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, indeed. Cindy, love, love, love. I just a random, it's just wrong place, wrong time, I guess. Like, that's just bizarre.
Yeah. Or right place, right time, because she was able to affect so much change so incredible afterwards.
Michelle, look at you, Miss Positive. Love that.
I'm crying. Oh my God, I was all emotional yesterday. Just, you know, like, oh, I just want to share with everyone how, I don't know. I was just really trying to connect with a lot of people, kind of. I was, I did this meditation. I'm just going to get into it. Here we go. Okay. My feeling is a lot of your connections come out of your solar plexus, out of your, you know, sort of stomach region, literally.
Interesting. You know? Okay.
And, you know, that's why when you can have something maybe traumatic happen with another person that you're close to, it can affect your stomach quite literally. I mean, you feel like you've been kicked in the stomach and that, you know, that type of thing. So I did a meditation where I just imagined all these connections going to other people and just all the connections being very sparkly and lush and lustrous and, you know, just dripping with joy and happiness and love and all these things, you know. And I ended up getting out of the meditation. I like texted like three different people and didn't get a response from anybody, but it doesn't matter. It just was like, I'm just putting it out there that, you know, I want my relationships to be more alive and more wonderful. And
that's very sweet.
I don't know.
Anyway. I would have texted you back, Michelle.
I know you would have. I know you would have. No, I texted some people that I really haven't talked to in quite some time. And so,
but you put it out there. Yeah.
So just go for it. Who cares?
Yeah, you never know. That's and that could have made someone's day, honestly.
Never be ashamed to show you care.
Michelle, oh my gosh.
Fucking on a roll today.
Yeah, you are. Jeez, I'm inspired already.
My mom said that to me when I was like 12 or something, or 13, probably after my like first crush on a boy or something. And she said, never be ashamed to show you care. And that has stuck with me my whole life.
I love that. Whatever, Michelle. I can't even compete. That's amazing.
And now I'm about to tell the most like traumatizing story ever.
Okay.
You just wait. It's a little traumatizing.
Okay.
So not too bad, but
not too bad.
I've been hesitating to share this story just because it's a little more sad normally like, but I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna plunge ahead.
I love that. Okay. I do want to say before you start, Michelle, is when I was looking up Cindy's like story, a lot of the headlines were Dr. Phil's sister-in-law, Dr. Phil's sister. I'm like, her name is Cindy, okay? Media.
Yeah.
It's his sister-in-law. I mean, like, she has her own story. I mean, I don't know. Just do better, media, okay? It's not a clickbait thing. It's a person, you know?
Yeah, it's totally a clickbait thing. That is, I'm sure, quite true.
Right? But I got all the information from, like, womenforhire.com, and it was all about Cindy.
Mm.
They did mention Dr. Phil, but it wasn't like the headline. It was like, this person did some great things. You know, I don't know. I don't know why that got me irritated, but it did. So
yeah, I get it. Well put.
Right? Ugh. All right, Michelle. On that note, Michelle, please.
Okay. So I heard this story, like Joel was perusing Facebook and this like story came up and I was like, what? This can't be true. And yeah, so here, we'll just jump right into it.
Oh,
so
okay.
Just as like, what the fuck? That shit happened? Yeah. Yeah, it sure did. Okay.
All right.
So I'm taking us back to October 18th, 2011.
Okay.
And this is in Zanesville, Ohio, which is on my way to go to the airport. So it's like 40 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So it's like kind of the biggest city that we have close to us.
Gotcha.
I guess if we want to go to a mall, that's where we have to drive to.
Fair enough.
I mean, there's no Target there or anything. We have to go all the
Boo.
way to Columbus, but there's
Okay.
stores there. Anyway, so okay. And this story is a little bit about Sam Kopchak. Kopchak? Anyway, Sam. So Sam is a retired school teacher, and he was at home with the house he shared with his 84-year-old mother. So it's him and his mother living in this house. And he's kind of looking out the window, and he noticed that his horse, Red, is acting very strange. It's acting very skittish.
Hey.
Is moving like to the far field, like the far corner of the field, which was kind of unusual, I guess. And further on, past his own horse, he noticed that his neighbor, Terry Thompson's property, who Terry Thompson will be kind of our main story, he noticed that Terry's horses were even more agitated than his own horse was. And they were circling. And in the center of the circling, there was some kind of dark shape that he couldn't quite make out. So he just thought it was really unusual. And then once the horses sort of dispersed, he could see that they had been running around a black bear. And
Oh.
he was just like, what? Okay. I've seen, there's bears out here in Ohio, and, we're not in a totally forested area, but there's lots of rural forested areas around. So he wasn't really that shocked by it.
Okay.
So
Okay.
it wasn't really big, and it was actually looked like the bear was actually trying to run away from him. So he felt confident to go out to get his horse, because he's like, I'm
Okay.
gonna get the horse, I'm gonna bring it in. Obviously, they're riled up over this black bear. So he starts to head out, and he's got Red, and he starts to head back towards the barn. But just a few steps towards the barn, he looks up and he sees like something else ahead. And he's like, what the hell is that? And that's when he realized that he was looking at a full-grown African lion.
What?
Yeah. So first this black bear, and now this giant lion is staring right at him and his horse.
Is there a tiger next? Like, my gosh.
Oh my God, yes, there is. There is, in fact, a tiger next.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
What?
So he starts heading back to the barn quickly. Like he remembers from school that he probably shouldn't try to make eye contact with the lion because they might see it as a threat, and he doesn't want to run away from the lion. And
Okay.
so he's just walking quickly towards the barn, kind of as quickly as he can without full on sprinting and freaking out. So he gets a third of the way to the barn, and he looks back, and the lion is still like exactly where it was, staring right at him and watching him go to the barn. So there was a fence in between them, and what Sam realized is that that lion could get over that fence at any point.
Sure.
So he was just sort of watching him, and just let him. So he managed to get to the barn, and he gets inside, he locks all the doors, and then he telephones his mother and was like, hey, there's a major problem. There's strange and unusual animals like roaming around. And so what they remembered though was that Terry Thompson, the neighbor, kept a variety of strange animals. Kept a variety
Sure.
of animals at his house, of
Okay.
course, because they could often hear like the lions roaring and things, so they had
And they're
never.
just like, that's just
Oh,
Tommy or
Terry,
Terry.
I don't know exactly what they thought, but they were like, yeah, something's up over there. But they had no idea like how many there were or what was the extent of the animals that were.
They just minded their own business.
Yeah, exactly. And that seems to be the case in Ohio.
Okay.
Like everyone, you know what? That's that dude's problem. I'm just alive here. So they figured that this black bear and this lion were probably from Terry's property, and so they were able to find Terry's phone number and try to call over. But there was no answer. And so they're like,
Oh.
oh shit, what's going on? So at that point, she dials 911 and reports that they've seen the lion and the bear, or that her son had. So Sam remained trapped in the barn, and he was sort of looking out the window of the barn, and he's just watching this menagerie grow. You know, first it's the bear and the
Yeah.
lion, and then along comes a wolf, and then a second
Oh.
bear. And then this bear is much larger than the first bear. And then the lion that he had seen is now pacing back and forth,
Uh-oh.
like obviously agitated, as you know, you see these animals who start pacing, you know, usually it's like they're gonna pounce or something, I guess. And then he saw a lioness, and then he saw the tiger. And so he said the tiger was the most terrifying of them all.
Oh, really?
Lions were big, but the tiger was even bigger.
Massive.
And yeah.
Okay.
And it started snorting. It started snarling and then immediately went after the horses. After the horses. Yeah, so it's in hunt mode. So now we're going to switch over to Deputy Jonathan Mary. So
Okay.
Sam is stuck in his barn. 911 has been called. And so Deputy Mary was 2 hours into a shift, and he was serving a court summons a few miles away in Zanesville proper when the call came through that there was a lion and a bear on the loose. So he, you know, I guess they kind of knew that Terry was running, had all these animals. You know, but as far as what the extent was, they were not clear at this point.
Okay.
So a little aside, as it turns out, one of the biggest exotic animal auctions in the entire world takes place in Ohio, and it happened like 2 weeks ago. Like you just,
Really?
yeah, you can buy all kinds of shit there. And it's just like, how is this even allowed at all?
So in Ohio, you can own all these exotic animals?
Well, they go all over the world. Like
Oh.
you can buy them here. And so I don't know how it all comes to be. But yeah, like in the beginning, Terry went like 30 years ago or whatever, went to this auction with his wife and they bought a little lion cub. And that was like the
The
start
fuck?
of the, yeah, what the fuck indeed?
No,
Get
they're
that
supposed to be.
Tiger King shit all over again.
Yeah, seriously.
I
People, a
guess.
lot of people don't even deserve like household pets, let alone wild animals. My
Yes,
gosh.
agreed.
Why is
Agreed.
Ohio, you live in the weirdest state, Michelle, I swear.
True. I know I have some more like paranormal type stories to tell. And it was like, okay, you gotta hold back on those a little bit. You gotta not roll them out one after another. So I got them in my back pocket. You just wait.
Right. Love
Okay.
it.
Back to Deputy Mary, who's just
Yeah.
received the call of our loose lion and bear. So he kind of heads over to the property, and just inside the fence, he could see the tiger, a black bear, and two lionesses. And while he was waiting for Sam's mother to answer the door, he sees this large gray wolf go prancing by on the road behind him. And he set down his clipboard, ran to his patrol car, and ended up following the wolf. So, unfortunately, what goes down later is like the worst part of the whole story.
Okay.
But I can see why they did it. So, although this is like dusk time, like not like afternoon-ish time, I think.
Okay.
And like nearby, you can hear kids playing soccer. And so, like there's tons of people out and about in this town where now we have all these wild animals.
My
Like
gosh.
around. So unfortunately, they got to start putting the animals down.
Oh.
So as it turns out, you know, in movies and things where you see them shoot the tranquilizer and then that person's like out
Yeah.
instantly, that's not how it works,
Fair
apparently.
enough.
It takes a solid like 10 minutes for the tranquilizer to really work its way through the system enough to put the animal down. Because that's what they wanted to do. They, of course, they contacted the Columbus Zoo. They were like, get a crew out here. We've got all these animals and things. But seeing these, you know, kids in like just across the fence from where some of the animals were, it's like, we got to do what we got to do. So this is why I've hesitated the whole time. So they managed to take the wolf down, and then and they were able to find the lion and take the lion down. And what ended up happening, I'll kind of like so just skip to it. There was 18 tigers, 17 lions, 8 bears, 3 cougars, 2 wolves, a baboon, a macaque, and all loose that ended up being put down.
What?
Yeah, there was a crazy amount of animals on the loose, like crossing the freeway, and like all these lions and tigers and bears, like
Oh
out.
my. My
Yeah, full lion
gosh.
indeed.
That's insane. How does someone like legally able to own that many and not have like a zoo or a permit or just like his house was that big, like his property? And no
Well,
one
he did have
noticed?
a pretty big property, but it sounded like they were in kind of a smaller area. And I guess the Department of Agriculture went out there and deemed it fit. So here's what happened. We'll kind of, we'll sort of jump down to the nitty-gritty. So we're looking through for animals and things, and it's all, you know, apparently a giant bloodbath with poor Sam and with his horse in the
Locked in
barn.
a barn. Yeah, okay.
So they went out, the sheriff ends up going out. He hears he's sitting at home, he's in for the evening. Sheriff Matt Lutz watching TV and things, and he gets the call that, you know, all these animals are out. And they're like, oh, we think it's Terry Thompson's property. So you need to head out there. And they had been calling Thompson's house over and over and over to no avail. So he's able to go out there. And it took him like 15 minutes from receiving the report to actually make it out to Terry's property. So he's looking around and he's trying to figure out kind of what is going on. The animals have clearly busted out. They're wondering, has Terry been injured and he's of help? You know, did the animals, you know, bust out of their cages and injure him or whatever? So as the sheriff sort of neared the farm buildings, he saw more and more animals. So a lot of the animals were actually pretty close to home, I guess. But what he saw was all their cages had been cut through or left open. So he thought that was a little bit bizarre. And so he sort of burr, burr, on his horn, you know, trying to like get Terry's attention, you know, like is he out back or whatever, and try to get him to come back. But of course he couldn't, nobody came out. And he was actually able, was able to get in touch with a man named John Moore. And John Moore worked for Terry feeding the animals. So he knew how many animals were there. He knew he was like the caretaker of the animals, in essence. And so he together they returned to the house and they found no sign of the animals inside the house. But what they did find is that the house was in like total disarray, like just really gross conditions, I guess, order situation. And so they were like, has anyone even been living here? What's going on? They did find 2 monkeys and a dog in cages. So those hadn't been opened. And then they see this white tiger leaning over something. And they realize that this white tiger is eating a body. What is going on? And they couldn't really get any closer because this white tiger is huge, but they just sort of presumed that it had to be a Terry. So turns out what happened with Terry is, this is what I've gathered from different articles, that he had just been released from prison and he had been prison for gun charges. So he used to be a registered gun trader, or, you know, gun, I don't, they didn't say gun runner, but he was registered to be able to sell and purchase guns. And so that license ended up lapsing. And so when he was busted, he had like 133 submachine guns and all these huge guns. that he probably used to be licensed to have, but now he wasn't licensed. So he got put in jail. And I think he went to jail for about a year.
Oh.
And so just before this incident happened, someone like gave him an anonymous note that said his wife had been unfaithful during the time he had been in prison.
Oh.
So they think he went out, cut open the cages, opened the cages, and essentially just killed himself via the animals that he had and just let pretty much everything go. And
wow.
I know. I was like, what?
So his wife, no, so the guy was taking care of the animals while he was in prison.
Yes. John mm-hmm. Moore. And it sounded like the wife, they were estranged, but she was still involved with
gotcha.
The animals because she went in and got the two monkeys that were inside. And apparently she like sleeps with one of them in her bed and they like, like they saw her and were like, yay. And like clung to her and stuff. And so they were very relieved to see her. I know this whole story is just fucking crazy heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people can die all over, but you bring animals into it.
Right.
Everything is upsetting.
Right.
Ugh. So they ended up being able to save a few animals. Let me
good,
find
at least.
Yeah, they were able to find a few of the monkeys. I had a list. Where is it? Okay, here we go. So the animals that did survive, there were six of them. There were three leopards that were still in their cages. So their cages just happened to not be cut open. There were two more macaques, which are monkeys, in the living room. And I think those are the ones that got super excited to see the wife come in. And there was a small grizzly bear that was also in a bird cage.
In a bird cage?
Yeah, they were. And that's where the monkeys were in small bird cages.
Oh,
I know.
Babies.
They said when they walked in, it was the most horrific smell ever.
Oh.
It was just like garbage and feces everywhere. And then garbage bags with feces in it just scattered everywhere. And just, they said it was, they couldn't imagine anybody living there because it was just such filth, you know, from all those, I'm sure, animals. I mean,
yeah.
I kept a chicken in the house like for 3 months one time. And my God, there was poop like up the wall, like 2 feet. I mean, yeah, it was like, and that was one chicken, you know, can you imagine like 40 large animals, you know, wandering around your property? Oh, so they were really sad, saddened to have this whole thing happen. Sam managed to make it out of his barn and remarkably nobody was hurt. In
That's
this whole,
good.
I mean, other than the animals, of course, and then Terry,
right,
his demise. But yeah, they were able to save like all the kids playing soccer and all these
aww.
Things. So they were really surprised, and they ended up just burying all the animals just there on the property because there was just so many. I mean, it was just
that's
they,
a lot.
Yeah, I guess they had gathered them all up so they could count them. You know,
oh
they like categorize them, and someone took a picture, so that picture is out there.
I mean, oh my gosh,
I knew I didn't want to tell this story.
It's crazy though, like,
yeah, people were driving by on the freeway, and there would be like a tiger, you know, just along with a, you know, a lion a little ways behind. And
it's just sad because like the animals have no say. They're all innocent in this and they're just like doing their instincts and they're finally free from a terrible environment and then they have to die. It's just sad. It's just super sad.
It's like sad on sad on sad on sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But
all
why
because
would you
this
want...
motherfucker had to have like, why are you having these kind of animals on your property?
Yeah. Why so many too? What's the point?
Yeah. And how can you even afford to feed them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's part of why he got attacked, because they're probably fucking hungry.
Yeah. Well, it probably, you know, just he didn't have any drugs in his system. I guess he had some Benadryl in his system.
Interesting.
And that was the extent of it. Oh, he did. Sorry, I left out a big part of it. He did shoot himself. So he opened all the cages, cut all the cages, shot himself in the head and then sort of just let himself be eaten. My understanding is maybe he pulled down his own pants and kind of took off a lot of his clothes because his whole genitalia was eaten off, which sounds awful. I wish I hadn't said it like that, but
I mean, you're
he
just saying the
had,
facts.
yeah, that's so that is what happened on that fateful night of October 18th, 2011. Some animals made it, but unfortunately, most didn't.
Yeah.
So,
That I had no idea. I feel like that would have been a giant story.
I know. It was the same. Like, what? How could
Maybe.
this even be? But I guess, so we were kind of, I was poking around some of the big game animal facts, I guess,
Yeah.
and so, and strangely enough, Paul came for lunch this today and was talking about this giant auction. And we were like, what? We were just talking about this. So it all sort of came together because he had a guy at his work who brought in a fox. He just has a, he's got various wild animals. I think he's got a couple water buffalo and that type of thing. And it's just like, what are you even doing with those? Like,
Yeah.
why do you have them?
We shouldn't have wild animals. That's what I'm just saying. Like, you shouldn't just have them as
I agree.
pets. Like, you're
No.
supposed to be wild. That's why they're wild. I don't know. That's sad, though.
I know. It's, well, it just makes me think of Tiger King and,
Yeah.
how sad those animals' lives were. It's like once you
And they had
were
bigger
not a cub
cages.
anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, oh, what the hell? And how is this even remotely legal?
Yeah.
Like, because, so I was reading. There's, I think, 200 permits for exotic animals in Ohio right
Oh,
now. There
wow.
used to be like a ton of animals and no permits. And now the number of animals with permits, it's like it's more equal, I guess. So it's not so all these illegal. A lot of them are legal now, but like a hairdresser has a monkey and it's just like all these weird how they're registered and permitted. And people went out and looked at Terry's place, and he wasn't allowed to show it as a zoo, but they felt like the animals were being treated fine, so they let him continue. It's like, what the
That's
hell? Nobody
crazy.
should have lions and tigers and bears as pets. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody. No.
Oh, so.
Let them okay.
So let this be a lesson to
Yes.
everyone. Like, I'm thinking about buying a lion cub. Don't.
No.
Yes.
Do
Stop that.
not.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. That's crazy. Don't keep them in fucking bird cages either. That's bizarre. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so
Like,
upsetting.
it is upsetting. So,
But
yeah, that was the
very,
story of the crazy animal menagerie that got
yeah.
loose in Zanesville.
Well, this was a very another random thing that happened. My gosh. But, oh my gosh. All right. Well, wow.
It's probably time to wrap up because I'm at the very end of my whiskey sour.
Yeah, seriously. That's crazy. Well, that was a really interesting story, Michelle.
I'm
It
sorry it
was
was so
sad.
sad.
That's okay. But it was, I mean, I feel like people
Finding a
really should know.
survivor in it was a little bit tricky.
Yeah, but Sam, that's his name, right?
Yeah, he made it.
Sam. Yeah, Sam made it. Like, he had to face a lion. He's like, get in the barn and just shut himself in there.
It would be so hard to not completely panic, I think.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you're just walking into your house and then you're like, what is that? Oh,
Going on over there?
it's a huge lion. Like, wow.
Oh my. And
You're in
you could
Ohio.
easily jump that fence, like, no
Yeah.
problem. It's probably like a little wire fence that's like hardly
Yeah.
anything. Cattle
Oh my
panel or
gosh.
something.
Terrifying.
I know. I struggle with zoos even in
Yeah,
terms of
there's
watching.
I know.
It's just
But I mean, I guess it depends on the zoo, because some zoos, like, they do. Like, if the animal can't survive on their own out in the wilderness, I mean, like, yeah, okay, give them a full life somewhere that they could
yeah.
live, you know, for sure.
Agreed.
Or if they're injured, have them in there and then release them when they can live on their own, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. But yeah, it is. I mean, It's kind of, yeah, it is sad. It is
I know. I
sad.
mean, it's not to say I've never been to a zoo because I've been to plenty of
I,
them and I
yeah.
enjoy going to the zoo. I just wish I
Right.
didn't.
Yeah.
We have a
Yeah.
big, it's called the Wilds here in Ohio, and that's pretty close to us. I think it's about 40 minutes, but it's a huge sort of safari park.
Oh, wow.
And so they've got all kinds of stuff out there. So I've not gone, so we were talking about maybe going out there. But I think it's a lot of rescues and that type
Yeah.
of thing, probably from these, homes that people have them in. And that tiger
Yeah.
is never going to survive in the wild. It's been
Yeah.
raised in a cage its whole life,
Yeah. Well, also like endangered species, like if they can, breed them and then get the, species back from that endangered list. I don't know. I don't know, man.
It's hard. It's
It's
hard.
hard. It is hard. But all I know is like keeping them at your house is not the way. Not the way.
I'm gonna agree with you there, Caitlin. Well
Thank
put.
you. Thank you. All right.
I'm
On that
sorry.
note,
I don't even know what to
well,
say.
I know, yeah, just like it's just, yeah, it's sad, unfortunate, and it is what it is. I
I know,
don't
Cindy. Good job, Terry.
know.
That's probably glad.
Sam, though, Sam,
Yeah, well done, Sam.
yeah, well done, Sam.
Way
You
to
got
alert the
everything in motion.
authorities.
That's right. That's right. My goodness.
Oh, gosh.
All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed that episode. And enjoy those fresh whiskey sours with some egg whites.
Yep.
Yeah, egg whites.
It just takes it
And
to a whole new level. It's foamy, it's light, it's delicious.
don't be afraid of it. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tasty. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you guys on the next episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye.